Welcome to the PreparedX podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 32 of the PreparedX podcast. In this session, I interview Aaron Duncan, who is the Executive Director of Crisis Management at Piranha International. I spoke to Aaron about several corporate crisis management topics. He's really an expert in the field of communication, but we did get into, again, a whole host of discussion around crisis preparedness. We talk about some of the issues and challenges from his perspective. He represents both individuals, sports, as well as entertainment individuals, as well as some organizations. We got into some recent issues that organizations face and how they responded, as well as wrapping up with he had some good points actually around what good leaders have in terms of their traits, skills, and knowledge around being a good crisis leader. So anyway, I think you'll enjoy this one. Here's episode 32, my interview with Aaron Duncan. Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Robert. I'm doing awesome. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm good. In the northeast here, we've had a few rainy days, but it's cleared up again, and we're hoping summer is right around the corner for sure.
That makes two of us. Yeah. We're supposed to be getting some rain here the next couple of days in the Midwest here in St. Louis, Missouri. But it's, 40 to 60% chance, which in the Midwest, that probably means 0% chance.
The weather people have got to keep themselves in a nice job there. So, just before we get started, Aaron, for our listeners, could you introduce yourself and just talk for a few moments about yourself and your career to date, please?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of your podcast. I've been a big fan of yours. I followed you somewhat throughout the last couple of years of your career. Big fan of PreparedX.
Thank you.
And also the International Crisis Management Conference. So big fan of yours. Appreciate the opportunity. As you said, my name is Aaron Duncan. I'm the Executive Director of Crisis Management Communication at Piranha International. And we are located in St. Louis, Missouri. We are a creative marketing agency and a global communications firm. We have offices strategically placed throughout the country as well as around the world. And I have been in the crisis management industry for a while. My story is quite long, but we'll save that for another podcast.
Right.
I'm known as the trauma surgeon of brand crises, because by time a crisis gets to my desk or comes to me, it is blown up, it's catastrophic, and it is by that time pretty much a disaster situation.
Sure.
So they call me the trauma surgeon of brand crises. I'm also a public speaker on the topic of crisis communications and reputation management. I've been doing so for several years. I have my own brand in addition to my responsibilities at Piranha. I also have a website that your listeners could check out, and that is yourcrisisexpert.com.
Okay.
And I'd love for them to check it out, and there's an area where they can contact me and even send me a direct text message, maybe even after this podcast. I'd love to hear from your listeners.
Sure. Well, we appreciate that. And like I mentioned, in the build up to this, we got a few questions for you. And, again, our listeners, come from all four corners of the globe, as well as the crisis preparedness space, from business continuity, emergency management, obviously crisis communications. So looking forward to this one.
I appreciate it. I've really been looking forward to it as well. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's start off then in your you know experience, you know, through your, you know, again through your personal experience, you know, both with your organization as well as your previous experience from the world of crisis preparedness. You know, what's the if there was one, and there's quite often many, right? What's the most important element of crisis management as it relates to corporations and their responsibilities? If there was just one you had to pull out.
And you're correct on that. There are so many that I could list, but again, we'll save that for another podcast. I think, Robert, besides the obvious, such as, is, you know, traditional ethics and values of corporate culture, I think one of the most important elements of crisis management in today's world as we know it, as it relates to corporations, is to always, always, always anticipate crises. And that's something that a lot of corporations that I work with on a daily basis, a lot of individual brands, it's kind of the thought of it'll never happen to me type of scenario.
Right.
And so, you know, I always tell brands, organizations, companies, you know, high profile individuals, always anticipate a crisis because you never know when it's going to happen.
Right.
I always tell people it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when a crisis will happen.
For sure.
So yeah. I think that's probably one of the biggest is to always, you know, anticipate.
Yeah. I've heard that saying before. That's, you know, fairly common saying. So building on that then, in terms of some common issues that you see in your line of work, you know, what are the other, you know, we certainly see, as you know, we do these crisis management exercises. We simulate various situations for brands and we walk their management teams through trying to deal with them, you know. So, you know, and we often will get a common list, and this is throughout different industries in terms of those management teams. But in your specific line of work, are there common issues that you see?
You know, and that's another one that we can talk about all day.
For sure.
You know, some of the common crisis management issues are that I see mostly are lack of preparedness, and that kind of falls into more of your category, because, like I said, by the time a crisis situation gets into my hands, I've got more digging to do. I have more. You know, interviewing of executive staff. I saw a statistic the other day, and I'm not sure, you probably know the exact statistic, Robert. So tell me if I'm wrong, because I'd really like to know the statistic on this. But I read somewhere the other day, and I can't remember where I read it. I read quite often. That it said 60% of corporations don't have a crisis management plan in place. Does that statistic sound correct?
Yeah, I mean that wouldn't surprise me. I often will go to a couple of publications that come out a couple of times a year. One of the ones comes out of BCI, the Business Continuity Institute. And so they put out one, and, you know, a section within there is all around crisis management. And so that wouldn't surprise me if that's a stat from, you know, a poll that they put out on a, you know, again, they put it out, I think, twice a year. That certainly wouldn't surprise me. Of course, there are lots of different publications that mention different different numbers, but yeah, I would say that, you know, there's a big difference between crisis management and crisis communication in terms of planning, right? So yes, we've got messaging on the communication side and stakeholders and, you know, how do we deal with that? And then on the management side is how we come together and coordinate all of that. So we often see a communication plan, but often there may be a crisis management. How actually are we going to pull the team together may be missing. So, and sometimes a communication plan is a part of the crisis management plan and vice versa. So yeah, that stat would not surprise me.
That's an excellent point, and I'm I'm blown away by that stat. If it is as high as 60%, a lot of the brands that we deal with, a lot of high profile celebrities, high profile individuals such as professional athletes, entertainers, executives, entrepreneurs, politicians.
Yep.
Our emphasis is in crisis communications and reputation management. And, we help individuals, brands, and organizations respond to negative accusations and other information. And in doing so, like I said earlier, I would say probably the biggest issue that I see in my line of work is a lack of preparedness.
Right.
And that is it's troublesome because by the time it gets to me, it's already affected the brand at a major level.
Sure. And so are there some recent examples, and obviously with client confidentialities, I don't expect you to speak about your specific clients that you're working with at this time, but are there other, recent examples that may have been in the news? I know, United is a fairly fresh one, United Airlines over the last few years, obviously Chipotle have been, in the news a lot for various issues. There are obviously constantly, almost weekly, other ones, whether it's a cyber attack, whether it's some kind of other reputational issue. What are some lessons learned from some of these issues that you're seeing out there in the marketplace?
I'll tell you, Robert, some of the PR mishaps that have recently led to crisis situations are simply ill-advised tweets, while others are, they could be huge corporate scandals like United Airlines. So far, some of the things that I have personally learned in 2017 is headlines like United Airlines shows how to make a PR crisis a total disaster. That's not a good headline to open up the newspaper to the next morning when you're the CEO of United Airlines, who 3 weeks prior to that was, I believe, named CEO of the year or communications expert of the week or something along those lines.
Yep.
But, Uber right now is it's a $69 billion private company. They're in the middle of a major PR crisis. And their crisis shows no signs of letting up. Recently their head of communications, recently resigned, and it just, one thing after another. It seems like every day I wake up, I see something new coming from Uber. Some of the companies that we've worked with, of course, confidentiality is we take that very important. But looking back over the last several years of individual brands who have done it right, I believe are individuals like Martha Stewart. We all know her story, but
yes,
we seem to forget about what she went through. And I believe that entire crisis was handled almost textbook. It was handled really well. And those of you who are NFL football fanatics, whether you like him or not, Michael Vick, who was a star quarterback,
yes,
for the Atlanta Falcons, was also, I believe, a crisis situation that was handled very well. But it seems like, and I think, Robert, because more and more, as our industry evolves, every day it changes, right?
Like, yes.
We have social media now that is it comes into play, and how do we handle that? There's so many different levels and all this new technology that's out on the market, and we have to stay on top of that as crisis leaders in order to manage these crises properly with whatever brand it is that we're working with.
Yeah, and that's what we see. One of the struggles with organizations is exactly that. There's a multitude of technologies out there, different platforms and different things being said. You know, what they struggle with is, you know, how and when do we come together? Well, the process should be the same, whether it's something that's bubbling that might turn into a big event or whether it's a fast-paced event that's impacting them right now, they should still have a process for the team to come together and coordinate and start those communications. And that's certainly, you know, what we advise on the planning and response side. And I think that's where a lot of them fall short. Again, that they'll focus on the stakeholders and the communications to those stakeholders, which is extremely important, but they'll forget about how they're going to bring their teams together, because you need to have a cross-functional team representation across the organization and not just the communication team managing the event. There may be somebody else within the organization that has something, a question or something to say that may alleviate the issue or may prevent the issue from becoming a full-scale crisis. So this is a great conversation. I do want to hone in now, though, Aaron, specifically, young people trying to get into this industry, certainly the communication side, or someone that's, you know, maybe been in crisis management for a while but is leaning more towards the communication field. You know, what kind of advice do you have for those folks who are looking to, you know, get into the communication side of crisis preparedness?
You know, that's one of the biggest questions I get, you know, whether I'm speaking at an event or I'm on the road, you know, someone will recognize me, or, you know, even some of the interns that come into our corporate office. It's one of the biggest questions that I get asked. And, you know, you and I both know being a crisis management professional is a big responsibility. You know, our job is to protect our clients, helping them be as crisis free as possible, you know, and helping them manage the hard times when everything is on the line. It's challenging, it's rewarding. There are long days, there are sleepless nights.
Right.
There's nothing like, you know, being there for a group of people who love the company they work for and represent the brand that they work with. You know, but, you know, you know, I would say probably the biggest, you know, advice I could give to someone is to learn, because like I said earlier in the podcast, there are so many things that, you know, that we face on a daily basis, it becomes a challenge. You know, the new technologies, new ways to communicate, different platforms, et cetera. And, you know, of course, I would recommend, you know, to anybody to get as many certifications under your belt as possible. Sure. You know, some of the interns that we work with, Robert, are, you know, young people who are going to school and actually getting a degree in crisis communications or crisis management or whatever field they're getting in. But I, you know, I always recommend, you know, attend a conference.
Yeah.
You know, your conference is a big one, and one that, you know, I missed out on this year, which I was pretty bummed about. But, you know, the International Crisis Management Conference that you started is, it's a great opportunity for people to go and share and learn. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, I always tell young people to stay in tune to what's happening around you. You know, I think it was just, I heard this morning that last night, today's the 23rd. So on May the 22nd, Ariana Grande,
yes,
had a concert, and, you know, I will, you know,
Manchester, England. Yes, it was 10:30 in Manchester last night. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you for those details. Yep. I wasn't for sure on the accuracy of that. And, you know, I woke up this morning, one paper called it a terrorist attack. Another one, you know, there's like five different variations of the story. And, it's, you know, there's not one, you know, and it, that's all part of crisis communications. You know, you've got to interview, and you have to, ask the right questions to understand what occurred and what happened. But that's what I always tell young people that want to get into the field is learn, read the newspaper, take a crisis situation that you just read about and put yourself in that situation. And what would you do if you were leading that crisis team?
Right. Yeah, and that's part of the reason. Certainly, I appreciate the plug there in the middle of the podcast here for the conference.
That is not a problem.
Yeah, well, and it's important though because we started this entity because there was not one place. I mean, people go to LinkedIn, right? But there's so much on LinkedIn in terms of people are talking about politics. They're even posting pictures of their cat now. It's not Facebook. So we created the International Crisis Management Conference, which is crisisconferences.com. And now it's an online environment as well, where people can come and learn specifically about crisis preparedness. So it is that kind of one-stop shop, which we couldn't find before, and we thought that was important. So it's certainly there is that. I think obviously going to school for 4 years to learn about communications, advertising, or whatever it is you may do. I think some of those environments now are outdated, and certainly after 4 years, when you've been through a program that maybe was designed 8 years before, you're not up to speed. And so I would certainly lean on a lot of things. Keep up with the various things that are happening online now, because we've got these devices in our hands, and we can certainly be up to speed and keep up to speed every minute of every day because of these devices. So yeah, but that leads me into the next kind of questions in terms of social media. In your field, you work with a lot of individuals as well as some corporations, but it must be a real big challenge. What kind of challenges do the people that you work with and the organizations face during, actually in the middle of a crisis, in terms of social media?
I would say probably the biggest challenge that I face as a crisis leader right now with some of the brands that I work with is, in dealing with social media is live streaming. When a crisis is happening, the first instinct is for someone to pick up their phone, to video what's going on, to live stream it on Facebook, make it Facebook Live. And that kind of becomes the jury, so to speak, in this situation. So, live streaming is a big deal.
Yep.
So that's probably one of the biggest. Cybersecurity is huge right now. That's a big field that a lot of young people are getting into that I found. Response time. When something is on your social media platform and it's a negative, how quickly do you respond to that? It makes a big difference.
Sure.
In how to handle that certain situation. And then, of course, engagement. We always tell our customers to make an effort to engage with your customers, with your client, with your followers. Engage with them on a daily basis, not just when you feel like it or not just when it's negative, but even when things are positive, because that's what we try and do on a daily basis, is to keep things positive. So
yep.
Those are probably the biggest challenges. And some that aren't, so big. So
perfect. Well, I appreciate that. That's a great insight. I think that live stream is, many platforms are doing it now. Obviously, Facebook seems to be a quite popular one. I think even Instagram, I believe, now is doing it.
I'm sure
like 60 seconds,
right.
Maybe. But yeah, but it's there, and everybody, is a reporter nowadays, especially when something goes wrong. And we certainly saw that again last night in Manchester, England, after the explosion. Yeah. So anyway, I just want to move on as we start to get towards the end of the discussion and the interview here. Can you talk for a few minutes about the importance of testing through simulation exercises that validates both the communication piece but also the operational, and it could be an emergency operational piece, or it could be, you know, the crisis management team, how we come together, like we mentioned before. But, you know, why is it important to, you know, put that communication and operational piece under duress during simulation exercises?
It's such a huge part of it, Robert. By time, you know, like I've consistently said in this podcast, by time a crisis gets to me, you know, I ask a lot of whys. Why did you do it this way? Why didn't you do it that way? Why? And you know, the answer always comes back: a lack of preparedness. We weren't prepared. We weren't ready. We didn't think it could happen to us. And, you know, I believe that training staff who are involved in emergency planning and responses, it's fundamental to an organization's ability to handle any type of emergency. And one of the things that I like about PreparedX, and that I one of the things that you guys really push and I really love, is you say that if not planned for and managed, that these risks could suddenly threaten an organization's reputation or ability to function. And I love that, because that's so true. And I've seen it. I've seen it on my end, because I've seen the risk. I've seen the threats. I've seen organizations go from worth multi-million to multi-billions of dollars to, crumble down to almost nothing.
Right.
You know, that's a big part of it. And I think that's your expertise, and one that I think that my listeners that are listening to this podcast would love to hear from you, is how you and your organization sees that.
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting, because we often see, and again, I think this goes back to we briefly touched on the silo mentality, and this happens, you know, within organizations where we work alone in our departments, but then all of a sudden something happens where we have to come together, and if we've not practiced and not tested and not brought those various leaders from those various lines within the business and those functional areas of the business, we kind of are not organized, we're disorganized, and it looks really bad on the whole organization. So, you know, the first big step is really to think about who makes up that crisis team from within the organization, who is, you know, cross-representing the organization. Because if we don't have legal in the room, but all of a sudden we need to get a message signed off on, or if we don't have human resources in the room and we've got to communicate with employees, well, you know, we can't do that, right? So we often start off with, you know, making sure the makeup of that crisis management team, it could be a leadership team at the highest level from a senior leadership standpoint. It could be a middle management team who's going to manage the event from a corporate standpoint, or it could be an operational team down at the emergency level at a facility, could be an oil and gas facility, could be a warehouse, whatever it may be. They have to have a team as well. And then when you start to talk about ramping it up from bottom to top, we need to know how we're going to coordinate that in a larger scale event. So anyway, I mean, we could go on about this for a while, but, you know, one of those major, goals or objectives really during these types of exercises, which the question is how the question originally started out. One of those major goals is, you know, roles and responsibilities. Who's responsible for what? We've made up the team based on those cross-functional responsibilities. Now we have to validate those roles. You know, are you responsible for this, or should this sit somewhere else within the organization? And so, again, the last thing we need when we come into that, you know, highly stressful situation is, you know, not knowing our roles, or thinking you know your role, but actually that role and that responsibility is under somebody else's department or somebody else's area of responsibility. So that's the real, you know, that's some of the basics in terms of those exercises and bringing those two, major parts of the business, communication and operations, together, and lots more as well in terms of good things that come out of those exercises. So appreciate you throwing the question kind of back to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that, because it's, it's something that's important to me. I've always preparation, you know, my parents taught me at an early age, prepare. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like the older we get, maybe the busier we get, the lack of of planning that some people put into things, but you know, discipline starts to fall, you know, by the wayside, and sure. so on and so forth. But I always, you know, I'm a big advocate of PreparedX, and not just because I'm on this podcast, and you can tell, you can ask anyone that I work with on a regular basis, they'll tell you that, that Aaron is a big advocate of PreparedX, and of course of yours as well. And I appreciate, you know, sorry for throwing that back at you, but it was a great answer and one that I think my listeners really needed to hear.
Sure. And there's lots of other podcasts we've done on specifically on this subject as well. So those that are listening can go back through the various episodes and take a look. Just as we start to wrap up, Aaron, I want to talk a little bit about leadership now. And again, in your experience, what do you see out there in terms of what are some of those traits of a good crisis leader?
Coordinated, decisive. You have to have the ability to effectively communicate, seeing things for what they are. Strong crisis leaders live on the front end of reality. And I would say probably strategy and detail.
Yep.
You know, that's really important. You know, the ability to see the big picture, is a big thing.
That's a great answer. A great way to end it there. One I always add in there is trust in your team. And if that takes time to build that trust, obviously those training and exercises will hopefully do that, and having your plans in place. Well, Aaron, this has been an excellent episode, and we really look forward to you, you know, coming on again sometime in the future, and maybe we'll dive deeper into a specific area of crisis communications. But any final comments for our listeners? And I think you briefly touched on how they can get a hold of you, but please provide that information again.
Yeah, again, I appreciate it, Robert. It's been a privilege. Your listeners can check me out on online at yourcrisisexpert.com. They can email me at Aaron Duncan. Aaron is spelled with two A's, AaronDuncan at yourcrisisexpert.com. They can even text message me at 636-385-4999. They can visit our corporate office online at www.piranha.international, and they can check me out on LinkedIn, and just by typing in my name, which I've spelled two A's, RONDUNCAN. Check me out on LinkedIn. I'd love to have a communication with some of your listeners.
Well, that's perfect. Again, thank you very much for your time today, and look forward to chatting with you again soon. Have a nice day, Aaron.
Thanks, Robert. You as well.
Take care. Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for episode 32 of the PreparedX podcast. This was an excellent one. I do hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on iTunes and go to preparedx.com to sign up for our bi-weekly newsletter, where we will share all things crisis preparedness with you. That includes latest blogs and podcasts, as well as other informative crisis management information. So again, go to preparedx.com and sign up for that, as well as don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Have a nice day, and we look forward to seeing you soon.